This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning, and all the way from Petaling Jaya, somewhere in the depths of it. We also have a Roshan Kanisen broadcasting from home. It is 6 a.m. Thursday, the 21st of May, and I think it's, what, day 65? I want to say day 65 of this movement control order, but then do you know what? I have once again lost count.
I think it doesn't matter, plus or minus 1 or 2 days. You're about right there, actually, if you ask me. So, yeah. But this is clearly like normal now. It doesn't feel so strange anymore, right?
It does. It has almost gone back to normal, with the exception of the paranoia that you feel whenever you're in any place where you're surrounded by people. Because, I mean, we're getting double parked again in front of the office.
Traffic has definitely increased. It's not as bad as it used to be, but yeah, traffic has increased.
Yes, traffic has definitely increased. And yes, this is me broadcasting all the way from Petaling Jaya. That should be my tagline. Can I be Roshan Kanisen, broadcasting from home? I want that to be my tagline from now onwards. But yeah, speaking of commutes, I've actually got a BBC story to cover in a little while, I think in about 10 minutes, about are you missing your daily commute? And I kind of understand where this is coming from, because going to work, that actual commute, there may be a psychological bookend to it, going to work and leaving work, that we may be missing at home. So that's something interesting to chat about later.
I'll be talking about all the international stories that you might have actually missed, which don't always gain prominence or get enough headlines, but are nonetheless important. One includes a cyclone that actually might affect, you know, millions of people.
Oh dear. And if you want to weigh in on those conversations, remember you can WhatsApp us 01878988999 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, though, we're going to be taking a look at what life after the MCO might look like and measures to exercise self-control. So be sure to stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Rock and Roll Star by Oasis, and you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Lin Mark, together with my two rock and roll stars, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanisen. Now, this morning we're taking a look at a story that's been carried in the Malay Mail, and it is covering a statement made by Senior Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob, who was talking about what's going to happen after this movement control order ends. Because right now, you know, we're in day 64, 5, 6, one of them, and it's set to end on June 9th. But the question is, you know, life can't exactly go snap back into normal after June 10th. So he has called upon the Malaysian public to exercise self-discipline once this MCO ends. Perhaps maintain physical distancing, perhaps just be aware of your surroundings. But can we actually do it? You know, what do you guys think?
With a bit of pressure, I think we can. And a constant reminder, it has to be a bit of both. Because, yeah, things, you know, sometimes you get this false sense of security, right? Lulled into a false sense of security. And that's the danger. Because every day when you listen in to the press conference with the DG, and the numbers keep dropping, I think we're now in 30, last night was 30 something. So you think, oh, okay, it's not going to be me. I'm not going to infect people, you know. And that's the danger, right? So that we kind of eventually just forget. So I think we have to be constantly reminded, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think it's very important that we have those flat numbers, right? Because that's the whole point of the MCO. It was to flatten the curve and to ensure that our health infrastructure wasn't overwhelmed. And the frontliners, as it is, they were already doing so much work. We don't want that to go to waste. But we can't afford for the economy to keep closed forever, right? 2 years is unacceptable. There's no way life can go on. As it is, we know of many who are facing bankruptcies of their businesses, unemployment, and the like. So we have to get the economy going again. But we have to be careful. Everyone needs to practice what we've been practicing over the last 2 months and continue that social distancing, the physical distancing, the hygiene. Keep sanitize your hands, wash your hands. You don't want anything to, you don't want to be subject to a flare up of the line, really. And if we are all responsible together, we should be fine, right? And I think that's really what we have to ask of each other in this juncture, to all be responsible and hopefully not overly paranoid as I have been in the last few weeks.
But the sad thing is, Malaysians, are we well known for having this sort of self-discipline and have a kind of a almost social contract with each other as Malaysians to do our bit? That is my question. Sometimes I'm a little bit discouraged just looking at how we treat, for example, public facilities. We don't love our parks. We throw trash everywhere. We're inconsiderate when we come to parking. So, I don't know. Maybe COVID-19 can teach us how to be better citizens to each other.
I think COVID-19 has definitely taught us how to actually queue, which was something that I'm pretty sure Malaysians didn't know how to do before. But I've had to queue to get into a couple of malls to do the regular shopping. And it has been very orderly, even when the queue snaked, you know, almost 50 meters at one point to enter one mall. But I guess my question is, when it comes to this, you know, right now under the MCO, all of these standard operating procedures are binding. So it's very easy to fall back on the letter of the law. When this is no longer binding, what fills that void, you know, of pressure? Is it just the people around you? Because public shaming doesn't really work. Okay, how many times have people tried to public shame for throwing trash, for example, and then it just kind of rolls off your back? There have been articles looking specifically at this, you know, human behavior. How do we respond to being yelled at, you know, to go home if you're not wearing a mask, and things like that? Because all of this is relevant now in this new normal. And it doesn't appear that this kind of societal pressure has much of an impact. So, you know, if the stick doesn't work, I guess what's the carrot?
Well, the carrot is that you can actually move about. Imagine if they took away, if they imposed another MCO. I mean, and they are really, really strict about it, like how it was in phase one. I don't need to remind anybody. It wasn't a pleasant time, right? It was actually quite scary, I would have to say. I don't want to go back to that.
Yeah, and I think another way to go about it is you watch the businesses, right? And you make sure that they're implementing the SOPs, and you put the responsibility, you take the responsibility away from the government and put it on the businesses. So the government watches the businesses to make sure that they're complying with SOPs and all of the like. And hopefully that will then indoctrinate this habit into the society that, okay, line up, you've got to do all these things. That may be a way that will be easier to regulate than having also the fear that your business could be shut down if you have a flare-up of COVID-19 in that area, with an EMCO and the like.
Well, tell us what you think about this. So you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages coming up for you, and then we're taking a look at the subject of your daily commute and whether or not you miss it. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Digital Witness by St. Vincent, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Roshan. Now we're taking a look at a story in the BBC Work Life this morning, and it's talking about why you, perhaps, you know, amidst all of the work from home schedule uprooting madness, why you might be missing your daily commute. Because I guess, you know, nobody really likes commuting. Nobody likes getting stuck in a jam for 2 hours to and from work, you know, making for a total of 4 hours of commuting time a day. But it kind of does make for a nice beginning and ending. You know, you psych yourself up for the workday and then you psych yourself back down when you go back home. And that is not really the case anymore if you are working from home, because everything blurs together at the edges.
Haha, doesn't exist for me, guys, because I drive to work, I work, then I drive home to my home office where I continue my work. So I don't think this applies to me. But I can understand for some people, yeah, because it kind of like, okay, this is the start and this is the end. And then when I get home, I do no work. It's family time, dinner time, movie time, you know, relaxation time. And I think the other thing is that if you have a very long commute, there are certain rituals you have when you're commuting. Like even for me, at, you know, when we're driving to work at like 4:45 in the morning, honestly, there's no traffic. But the ritual for me is to listen to Bloomberg Radio, and I enjoy it. So maybe, you know, if you don't have that, you miss that whatever ritual you have, whether it's listening to a podcast or audiobook or radio, and so that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I think the for me, it is a lot of the times that the commute home is a break, right? It is an hour or so where I cannot be on my computer, you know, because, you know, and if you can,
you shouldn't be on your phone. Well, although I've heard of people watching Netflix series while driving.
I have no idea who that is.
I'm like, how is that possible? Maybe if it's like a
really dead. That.
Yeah, horrifying, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, so for me, sometimes the commute back particularly is almost just a wind down time. What about you, Roshan?
Yeah, so missing it is relative, right? It is really depends on whether you like your commute to work or whether you hate your commute to work, whether you have the routines to, I guess, make it worthwhile, right? So I used to like listening to music or podcasts, or just having it completely silent in the car on the way to work is a way to just be bored and ponder life and the such. But I think this book ending thing is really important, right? Because a commute is an intentional, it's a very obvious book end to your day. It's very easy to do, but
it's a psychological thing.
Psychological, right? And when you don't have that anymore and you're working from home, you need to build new routines. So I used to be that person. I used to be the person who wanted to finish all my work while in the office so that when I go home, I don't have to do anything. And that would, I mean, stretch the day out. But now we can't do that, right? And I've learned how to do certain rituals that kind of bookend the day in various ways. So instead of one bookend at the start and one bookend at the end, it's a bookend throughout the day. It's kind of like, okay, signifiers of breaks. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm having coffee now, which means I'm not going to be disturbed and having breakfast. That sort of thing. Just mentally being able to clock out for a little while. Because working from home, you have a flexibility in your schedule, but how do you prevent it from taking over your life? That's another one to really pay attention to.
Yeah, I think for me, when I'm working from home, I don't have any kind of transition in the mornings, right? Because it's you roll out of bed, you go and brush your teeth, you maybe get changed, and then it's for the most
part, a dash out of the door.
It's no, as in when I'm working from home, oh, okay. It's really just like three steps to my desk, okay. If that. Yeah. And so I do sort of miss that kind of ramp, that entryway into work that comes with just the 15-minute drive, you know, at 4:45 in the morning. I don't play music, so I don't listen to anything in the morning, so not like you, Shining. But I like that kind of stillness,
okay.
You know, of the silence, of nobody on the roads, you know, it's dark. And it kind of helps me, it's almost a zen feeling, right?
Okay.
It helps you to center yourself before the craziness of the workday. Whereas I can't do that at home. And then usually, you know, because we have the show running from 6 to 10 a.m. So 10 a.m. is 10 a.m. at home. Then I do have a bit of a bookend when I go out and feed my dog, when I go and say hello in passing to my family before I head back into my home. I would like to call it a home studio, but realistically, it's
the home desk that you share with the huge, the computer shares with the huge sewing machine, right?
It's a sewing machine, 50 piles of fabric and a lot more things. So sometimes my laptop is actually perched on top of bunches of fabric and sewing boxes. So it's not exactly the most conducive place to work, let's be honest.
Yeah, but this is going to be the new normal, because I think even a lot of offices, as they're reopening their, you know, offices, they're not going to allow 100% of people back in. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be 50%. So maybe for some of us, you'll get the chance to enjoy your commute again for the 50%, maybe that week. And then the next week, you're not commuting, you're stuck at home. But then, you know, eventually, I think even if you work from home, you will develop some sort of rituals to get you into that mode and where, like what you say, Roshan, book end the day, or maybe book start the day, if that's the right word. Right?
Yeah, you know what I do miss though? I miss driving. I really, really do miss driving.
Well, yeah. Now you can get in your car. You just can't go interstate, Roshan. That's all.
Yeah,
you can drive from Petaling Jaya, one end of Petaling Jaya to the other end of Petaling Jaya. How about that?
I have done that before. I have, while working from home, I just got in my car and drove around for 10 minutes doing absolutely nothing but listening to music or silence. It's just, I miss that just the feeling of gliding across the road.
Well, apparently...
I miss my car.
Well, apparently, according to my friend, this is a funny story. On the first day when MCO was really, really relaxed and people were allowed to commute or drive around, he saw 5 accidents. He said...
What?
Yeah, he was like, Malaysians have forgotten how to drive. Because they didn't drive like for a few weeks and suddenly they're like, they lost their ability to, I don't know, signal, brake.
I thought it was supposed to be like riding a bike, you know, you never forget how to do it.
Apparently not. We obviously need our practice.
Maybe a little bit more complicated than riding a bike.
A little bit more. Well, do let us know what you think. Do you miss your commute to work? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have the 6:30 news bulletin coming up now. But first, this lovely tune, Summertime by Janis Joplin, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Joget Hari Raya by Hermantino and Zaleha Hamid. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wong Xiaoning and Roshan Kanison. Now, it is 6:41 in the morning, Thursday, the 21st of May, and we're taking a look at some international stories now in this particular quarter, because if we take a look over at one of our close neighbours, India, Cyclone Amphan, which is the most powerful storm in two decades, is expected to make landfall on India's east coast as well as in neighbouring Bangladesh. And authorities in the region have evacuated millions as well as closed factories. So this is a Category 3 hurricane and it crossed the coast of both countries yesterday. It's also predicted to generate sea waves as high as a two-storey house.
Yeah, and apparently it's strong enough to uproot communication towers as well as damaged roads and rail tracks. Now, this cyclone is forecasted to be the worst storm over the Bay of Bengal since the 1999 super cyclone that hit the area, which killed about 10,000 people in the state two decades ago. So apart from the storm threatening lives of people and animals, of course, authorities face another risk. Now, how do you actually manage to evacuate millions of people during a pandemic? I mean, how do you actually practice physical distancing when you're trying to get as many people out of that, you know, that danger zone as quickly as possible? And then you're going to usher them into maybe some sort of relief centers where basically there's no chance of physical distancing again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very tough, because if we think about the time when, what comes to mind is the Fukushima nuclear reactor, right? When Fukushima was basically evacuated and Japan had to relocate a lot of its citizens to holding areas. Even when we have flooding in Kelantan, for example, here in Malaysia, people wind up in like gym auditoriums.
Schools, halls.
And, you know, you're sitting less than 4 feet away from the next person. So how do you social distance or physical distance in that situation?
I think at the end of the day, I think what's really worrying for them is like, you know, so they've had, like, if you ask me, right, it's like the ultimate triple whammy, right? So you've got COVID-19. You already have the impact of almost no economy going on, right? Especially, I think I've read a lot of recent articles on Bangladesh where, because we are not shopping, and retail is completely dead. And they are the center, like the global center for garment manufacturing. So lots of factories have also shut down. Mm-hmm. And of course, India had that massive lockdown. And now you've got a cyclone. It's like, you really feel like things couldn't get worse for them.
It's like bad things comes in threes, right?
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, the last thing you needed was something like this, right? It really, as it is, to do things like containment and all, it requires a lot of organization and execution. And last thing you need is a natural disaster to compound all of the problems that you're already facing. As it is, India's the way India has tackled, or some states have tackled, the impact of COVID-19 and how to manage the situation has been less than ideal. Only a very few states have done it well and managed the situation, as it is with a country with infrastructure that is so between rural and the cities, the gap is so wide. It's actually really sad to hear, and it makes you grateful for what you have in this country, really. The fact is, yes, we've all gone through, we were talking about how going back into real life, the paranoia and all of that, but it could be a lot worse if we were somewhere else. And a lot of it, actually, when we talk about natural disasters, geography, Indonesia protects us from a lot of things. That's why we don't prepare for things like cyclones and stuff. We don't prepare for tsunami alerts, which, I mean, except for Penang, I guess, which a lot of other countries have to face. So, maybe that's why this idea of preparing for disaster response, unless you're the East Coast and you have those floodings, which are really, really bad, isn't as ingrained in our culture.
Yeah, so it makes me wonder what NADMA, which is the National Disaster Management Agency, what exactly it is they're doing to kind of mitigate on the one hand, COVID-19, but also on the other hand, the recurring issues on our East Coast that are, you know, that are still very much a problem today. Because it was, I think, maybe last year, year before last, that we saw the really terrible floods in the on the Northeast Coast. But if you speak with NGOs like Mercy Malaysia, for example, they'll tell you that some areas of the state still don't really have running water. So we talk about, you know, the difficulties in managing a pandemic in places like India, where they don't have run, where a lot of people don't have running water, where physical distancing is a privilege. This is also potentially happening in our own country. It's just that it's nobody's really talking about it. So you wonder how, you know, it's been raining really hard over the past couple of days in the evenings here, whether or not that same situation is happening on the East Coast, whether or not they're able to deal with it while also managing a pandemic.
Yeah, which is why please don't do any interstate travel, because some states are actually green zones. So yesterday, I think there was an announcement that Kelantan had one case because a lady had gone back there to deliver a baby. So yeah, there's a reason for this, right? Because a green zone should stay a green zone. And then you don't have to worry so much if everybody's ushered into a relief centre.
Absolutely. So it's still a very it's a very difficult situation to face, particularly as Hari Raya is this weekend, and I'm sure a lot of people are wishing to go home to their families to celebrate Hari Raya. But at the end of the day, it is for the greater good. You don't want to bring, you know, accidentally bring a virus back home to your families in other states. So be sure to physical distance and tell us what you think as well on the subject. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages for you, and then after that, we'll be taking a look at social media as well as the front pages of the newspapers. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was The Best of It by White Horses, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Roshan. Now, we've been running a few questions on the BFM Twitter account, asking you a variety of things, including: are you missing your daily commute? Will you continue to exercise self-control after the MCO ends? And in response to the question about self-control, Dr. Cackle has replied, said he's going, this person is, he says, yes, you're going to exercise self-control because for some reason I'm not a fan of dying. But that's just me, to each their own, I guess.
I just love that. It's true, right? I mean, in the end of the day, if you want to stay safe, you don't want to get COVID-19, you don't want the possibility of dying, you need to be the one actually practicing self-discipline. Right? Yeah. But of course, I have to say there are some annoying people that come, that still come very close to you. And I don't understand that. But, you know, maybe it takes time for people to wrap their minds about what, you know, over like what they need to do.
Sometimes it's force of habit, right? So I've had people queue very close to me. And then when I'm shooting them looks out of the corner of my eye, because I'm like, you know, you're within arm's distance. This is too close for comfort now. Suddenly they realize it and then they're like, oh, sorry. And they take two steps back. So it's just long ingrained habit that it's going to take some time to change.
Yeah, no, I had an experience with this as well. Like, someone was supposed to deliver something to me and came to the house without a mask or anything like that. And I was very taken aback by this person's nonchalantness about all of it. And I did remind her that the importance of social distancing and physical distancing and doing all of that. But I do have the star digitally on my desktop right now.
Yes, and your desktop at home, because you are broadcasting from home today.
Yes, BFM, broadcasting from my home. Yeah, so I've got the headline here, the star, Dr. M, I am still Bersatu Chairman, and on the right, no, you are not, says ROS. I don't know about you, but I'm fighting this fight it's a bit exciting on my part. I like watching politics. I like watching Bersatu politics particularly. So this really is going to be a test of Tun Dr. Mahathir's strength in Bersatu and his support base from the grassroots. Don't forget that the elections for the first time is next month, June 30th. It's been postponed once already. As it is, the dynamics there, I mean, you've got a lot of he said here, with all revolving around Dr. M's resignation. Was it accepted or not? It all stems down to that, because I remember Tan Sri Muhyiddin declining the resignation, and now it's all sorts of messiness. It's just wonderful to watch.
I think we all watch it and we all enjoy watching it, because it's the same enjoyment you get from like watching a train wreck, right?
But I don't know. I actually, okay. I'm actually very sad that we've come to this situation because it creates the political uncertainty mm-hmm. and, you know, it's not great to know that.
Oh, don't
know,
get me wrong. Yeah. I'm very sad about it. Yeah. But I'm just taking the entertainment factor out of it as well.
Well, Malaysia Kini has a related story, and it's actually a Reuters story within Malaysia Kini. I'll be clear about this. And I think it's Tun M giving an interview where he promises, and the headline is, Mahathir promises very big trouble for ruling coalition. So yeah, I think...
Only Dr. Mahathir can do things
yeah,
like
this. So at the end of the day, I think we can expect a lot more of this coming, you know, coming through the headlines in the next few weeks because he's not done yet.
Yes, and the New Straits Times is in front of me, and it calls back to what we were talking about just before we went into some messages, which because their headline is Risking Lives, the number of Malaysians making a bid to balik kampung for Hari Raya has doubled on Tuesday. So police had to tell 3,200 cars to turn back at roadblocks. Please do physical distance. Make sure that green zones remain green zones. You don't want to pass this on to your family. And the Malaysian Reserve also has a headline. AKPK logs 14,000 calls a day during the early phase of the MCO. And AKPK is, of course, the Credit Counselling and Debt Management Agency. Roshan, you've actually spoken to AKPK a number of times since this MCO started, right? And there was a webinar. There was a webinar on Tuesday talking about how the MCO has maybe tanked your investments.
Yeah, so we've been doing Ring and Sense webinars now. Next Tuesday, we're not going to have one for Hari Raya, but we'll be back the week after. But I have talked to AKPK quite a few times. Nirmala Subramaniam of AKPK is a fantastic guest and is very helpful when it comes to breaking down the bankruptcy situation. She talked to us about the loan moratorium and just general financial advice. And if you are facing issues with bankruptcy, give them a call. They're there to help you. They're a government agency mandated by Bank Negara to help you out. And if you want to check out more about AKPK, look it up on the Ring and Sense podcast. Just search AKPK and there are many podcasts there for you to take a listen to.
All right. And that is all that we have from the newspapers this morning because we have our very own 7 o'clock news bulletin coming up in just a few minutes. And after that, the serious side of the morning run. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the news. But first, here is Change by Blind Melon, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.